It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday.
It's Saturday, Sunday, what? It is Friday, no doubt about that, and it's Grand Final Eve Friday, which is the biggest one of the year. We've got a busy show to come. Michael Voss not too far away, just by the way. Looking forward to catching up with Vossy on the back of his appointment yesterday as coach of the Blues for the next 3 years at Icon Park. But we've got a Grand Final to talk about as well, and one man who knows plenty about that is Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, who joins us on the line again this morning. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. What's going on? Big week of footy this one. The biggest week of all times.
Now, what's it like for you, Boomer? Because you're a little energizer bunny and you're up and about. Normally there's cashy coming left, right and centre for you in grand final week, being the Games record holder. What's happened to the financial statement this month, Boomer?
There's not much going in, Daniel. Still a lot going out with our bills and stuff like that because the kids are at home, but there's not much coming in, unfortunately. But we spoke about the tickets last week, didn't we? I didn't get access to the life membership tickets to go over to Perth and watch the grand final, which I couldn't, of course, through COVID. And then you're right, the cash is all dried up for 2 years in a row. It's killing me.
What have you made of the week off, Boomer? How would you have coped? Have you put yourself in the situation of the players this week?
Yeah, you always do. As an ex-player, you always think, how would I be preparing for this week? Last week, it would have been actually really relaxed. You actually would have been able to take your mind away from everything, enjoy a bit of sun up in Perth. I think I read it was 27 degrees the other day. The boys would have been laying beside the pool and going to the beach and doing whatever they possibly could just to get their mind off the game. And then this week, your mind really focuses onto all the little tasks because you've got to remember, every single player has a role of some sort, and they'll be thinking about their little roles within the big scheme of the game. So they'll be really digesting. You know, you take an extra 25 minutes to go to sleep at night just because you're thinking about the game. And you know what? Some people will say that's not true. That's very true. You put your head on the pillow at night and you think about the game ahead. Whether you think about the small things, the tackles, the chases, or some people's mind will wander and they start taking speckies in their mind and kicking the winning goal and all that sort of stuff. But your mind wanders and you've got to bring it back to what you really believe and what the team's all about.
That's an interesting point, Rama. Were you a visualiser?
Slept like an angel.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because you were going to tag someone, didn't really need to do too much?
No. I've always had a TV in my room. So to slow calm me down at night, I just watch a little bit of TV, and within half an hour, 45 minutes, I'm fast asleep.
So even with all the build up to it, and the conversation around it, and they've got the parade coming up on a Friday for when it's in Victoria, no stress, no dramas, just sleep like a baby because you've got to watch telly.
Would you watch your own highlights?
A couple of times.
Sure.
Nah.
You're short vision.
No. To be honest, my first grand final in 2000, I was a little bit nervous. And going into that final series. So I spoke to Mark Harvey, and Mark Harvey put together this finals package for me. And I'll bring it in one day and let you watch it, Whitey. And he continued to add to it year on year.
Your package?
Bit of both. So there's a few highlights of me, then other people and all sorts of things.
That doesn't sound great, Daniel.
Some words of wisdom in there. So it's good. But
if I was an AFL footballer, I'd spend more time in the video room than I would in the gym.
It's just funny you say, Ramo. I did. We did something very similar for myself, where when there was a bit of a form slump there a few years back, the IT guys or was assistant coach's idea as well, and they put a little package together of all my highlights. And obviously, when you watch your highlights, you're doing stuff very, very well. And they put it together, and I, for a little period there, I was watching those highlights. That was the last thing I did before I left the house, just to reinforce yourself of how good you possibly could be when you're going very, very well. So, and I've heard a lot of sports psychs now are using the same sort of thing. So a little bit of self-reinforcement doesn't hurt anybody.
No, absolutely. And this is the time of year to be doing it. If you're feeling a little bit off, a little bit of positivity, get a video of how good you are, the tackles you've laid, the marks you've taken, the kicks, the good kicks you've had, the goals you kick, Ram, out there, the sort of things you reinforce. Absolutely. And that's the stuff that you get. They're the ones, the videos that all the coaches put together, Boomer, in all those years, that it's all about the defensive pressure and the tackles and the high marks sometimes every time as well. They're the videos they play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're talking about the mindset, and Rammer, it's amazing that you slept like an angel even before the big games, because a teammate of mine, Glenn Archer, he said he never used to sleep at all, but he used to do the opposite. He never used to see himself running back and spoiling the ball. He used to see Tony Lockett's knee coming straight through his back, and he used to be really, really scared. And then Modra sitting on his head. So he used to say that he went the other way and visualised that stuff and thinking, I can't let that happen. So in a game, clearly that didn't happen very often. So he was complete opposite Arch. But it's funny the way the mind ticks of professional athletes.
Yeah, it's a funny game, footy. It is a very funny game. And this time of year, it's all on the line. And you know about that. Rammer knows about that. And Michael Voss knows about that. And yesterday he was announced as the coach of Carlton. But he's been a triple premiership captain at the Brisbane Lions, of course, through that unbelievable era for them. He's going to join us after this. So let's get to a break and be joined by Michael Voss, the new coach of Carlton, after this on the Friday Footy Preview.
Only here are we investing $11.5 million in equine limb injury prevention research. That's because there's nothing else, nowhere else, like the Victorian Spring Racing Carnival. Presenting Brent Harvey.
Yes, we love Brent Harvey in the Friday Footy Preview Grand Final Edition, and great to have him on another big day, because tomorrow at Optus Stadium in Perth, the Grand Final will be delivered and played and presented with the Premiership Cup to the winners. Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs, 7:15. Check your local guides. Channel 7, all the radio channels as well. You can catch all the action of the biggest game on the planet. No change for the Demons as we get into this, Burma. No change for the Demons. Emergencies, just in case. And Melksham, Jordan, Hunt and Chandler. We'll get your take on who will be the medi-sub in those ones. And for the Bulldogs, two changes, not surprising. Keith and Waitman come in. Vandermeer and Gardner have been omitted at this stage. And the emergencies are Vandermeer, Richards, Scott and Gardner. First, I want to throw it open to you. Who will be, team, panel, the medi-subs? Boomer, who do you think will be the medi-subs for both teams tomorrow night?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you, Half, because I just feel stuff could happen. And when I say it like that, what's Beveridge going to do in terms of is he going to? I feel something left field here.
From the Doggies or from the
sub? No, not with the sub. Just in general, in terms of the actual Bulldogs, what they're going to do on game day. So, I don't know. I actually don't know who's going to be.
It'll be James Jordan.
James Jordan. It's been a pretty settled lineup.
Yeah, for Melbourne.
It'll be Vandermeer.
Vandermeer.
For sure.
Scott got the job last week in the prelim.
He loves Vandermeer. Loves him. Unless Vandermeer is still injured.
Yeah. That's the only caveat.
That's the only. But if not, it's Vandermeer.
Righto. All right. So they're the medi-subs who are part of the lineups tomorrow.
So what happens if I know the hypotheticals, and this is why. What about Gardner for the Bulldogs? I know he's been playing.
Yeah, well, that's the only other one.
What happens if Keith goes down super early? It leaves him very, very vulnerable.
It's an interesting point, I reckon.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You'd want to be... Well, you're clearly going in and you're backing your medical team 100% to make sure that Boomer, that Keith is absolutely cherry ripe to play. Because if there is any question at all, you'd have to think about that the situation, I reckon, if you're the Western Bulldogs. You'd have to think about having Gardner as your sub. If you're not 102% sure, it's dangerous.
But also, particularly with the Bulldogs being quite short in defence.
Yeah,
and that's been
right.
The case all year. But Melbourne is quite tall.
Yeah. So they're going to be relying on Bailey Williams and Easton Wood to play taller.
Yeah, and we've talked to Marcus Bonapelli about this on the Inner Sanctum, and he talks about how he himself has to get back and really get deep in defence to get a fist in, just to be that extra player to an aerial duel to help out.
Because what we've got to understand here, Boomer, is the Bulldogs effectively play a five-man defence because Caleb Daniel is afforded the luxury of just going to do what he wants. So then those other five are relied upon to sort of really play as sort of a zone defense, as in a sense. Now, the keys of Ben Brown and McDonald will have Keith and Cordy, whatever combination you want. But then it's Luke Jackson and how that plays out. Like Luke Jackson's been getting up the ground. Brown's been isolating to one side of the ground. McDonald's been that sort of that hard leading type of player. So there's a couple of things that I've wrote down. Just In grand finals, you've got to take away something early from the opposition.
Yep.
You've got to make a statement early. So I think from from a Melbourne point of view, they'll want to take away Libber again. Now, whether that they go back to James Harms. But I think they want to take away Caleb Daniel. I think they've got to take him away and make him accountable across that half-back line really early in the game. So that's Spargo, that's Neil Bullen, that's Sparrow, that's Pickett. Like, applying enormous pressure to him. They love to give him the ball. They love to feed him the ball.
So to the three of you, who is more important to stop, Liberatore at the Bulldogs or Oliver at Melbourne?
Libber.
Liberatore.
Yeah, I'll go with the other two boys as well. I think Libber's the most important player inside for the Western Bulldogs.
And I say that because Jack Viney can go and play. He can play in and under quite comfortably. Petrarca can play.
But would Viney and Liberatore potentially go head-to-head?
I'd just go straight back to Harms. I'd go straight back to Harms and then let Viney just attack the ball. Like, bash into bodies, crash into bodies.
Which is when he's at his best.
Absolutely, he was.
Yeah, because then you can play Petrarca as your high half, rolling up through and pushing forward and doing some damage and keeping it stoppage if you need to, and the little handover, swap-a-roo for stoppage here and there, but be that midfielder pushing, spurting forward into your forward 50.
So, So
there's two ways, and Whitey touched on that as well, but if you go head-to-head with Viney on Liberatore and you say, rightio, you've got to match him inside. You've actually got to match him inside, and then we can use a Harms on another player, whether that's on Daniel as a half, as a defensive half forward, or is it on Bontempelli, which I think would be the obvious one. Do you do that, or do you say, nah, Harms, you go to Liberatore, and we knock it over at the source so the ball doesn't come out to your McRae's, your Hunters, your Bontempelli's as much? So there is two ways of thinking about it. It's just whether, because no team tagged two players now.
No.
I don't think Viney's going to go and tag Libber and then Harms goes and tags somebody else. I just don't think it happens anymore.
So I asked that question about Oliver or Liberatore. So if it was that Harms went to Liberatore, Dunkley seems the logical option to go to Oliver.
Yes.
Does that upset the Bulldogs midfield mix at all to have someone like that inside your centre square? Or does he start as a half forward and roll up?
No, not really, because you roll Treloar up higher then. But this is the problem. So if I'm the Bulldogs, I'm taking Lever out of the game really early.
Yep.
Because you got to make him accountable. So you look at the Bulldogs forward line, and there's options who he can actually go and play on to be this roll-off player. So this is the critical part. He's going to want to get in front of Norton. The ball goes through Norton a lot. Then the next one's Waitman. They're the two guys in the Bulldogs forward line that are going to kick the winning score for them to win. So unless it's a sort of a 7 or 8 goal game.
Well, but this is the whole thing, isn't it? If it's a high scoring game, are you banking on Melbourne with their reliability or the Bulldogs with their unpredictability?
If it's a high scoring game, that plays into Melbourne hands because they've got more options.
Right.
I don't think the Bulldogs can kick a high score.
But they have through the final series.
But they certainly can. I think in a general game of real flow, I'd be leaning towards Melbourne the way they move the ball as opposed to the Bulldogs. Because if it's going fast, if you think about the game, if it's a high-scoring game, it's a free-flowing game more often than not. In free-flowing, you can play your drop-offs and have a real impact. It's a bit different if it's a bit slower, it's a bit more methodical, which the Bulldogs should be looking forward to doing. So if it's free-flowing, Lever will just get in the right spots because he's clever enough, the ball will move fast enough where they won't have an option or time to pick their the other free option if they're trying to sit off. But if it's methodical, if it's measured, and if it's sort of systematic, then I think they can cover off the Lever option as a defensive forward situation, like Josh Shackey did with Alirelir. They'll have time to cover, to kick into those areas, to take his strengths away. And that's what I'd be doing if I was Luke Beveridge, because you've shown your hand a bit. But it worked really well. So Melbourne will be prepared for this and planned for someone to try and do a similar role from Alir to Lever. Shackey might be that person, or it might be Hannon. Who knows how they'll work it. But I think both teams have seen how it works. But if I'm the Bulldogs, to get great confidence out of eliminating that threat from that player who is so influential and have been for the entire season.
And they can do that and still score. So
yeah,
they did that against the Bulldogs, against Port Adelaide. They still scored 116. They scored 79 against Brisbane. And they scored 85 in the wet against Essendon. But it's interesting where their goals have come from, because a lot of them have come from their midfield. I mean, Bailey Smith's a bit of an outlier because of the fact he kicked 5 against Port. But he also got 3 against Brisbane. Yeah. You know, Liberatore kicked 2 against Brisbane. Bontempelli kicked 2 against Port Adelaide. You know, Hannon's kicked goals. they're coming from all sorts of different sources, whereas Melbourne, you kind of know where your goals are going to come from outside of what Gawn did in the prelim.
Melbourne only have really one decision to make in their defence. What's the Norton matchup? Is it Petty or is it Stephen May? That's their really only decision to make, because what will happen
What's
is...
What's deepest? Deepest, May takes deep.
Hibbert will take Waitman. Rivers will take Hannon. Salem will take Treloar. And then it's just a decision between English and Norton.
The matchup for me, and we spoke about Lever a fair bit just then, for me, it's actually the Lever slash May, because when they're playing well, they're both intercepting marks. Yeah. If Lever gets taken out of the play, May can actually play that role fairly well as well. So if he gets a player where they don't have to be so accountable, he actually comes off and helps Lever. So last time they played, when the Western Bulldogs won in round 19, Lever had 5 marks and May only had 1.
Yep.
Now, the time before that in round 11, when Melbourne won, Lever still had his 5 marks, but May had 5 as well. So for me, they're actually a bit of a tandem. And team, and Rammer, we speak about this most weeks with Lever, you either want to take him very deep or you want to take him very wide. Yeah. But he's too smart. He plays inside you or he plays in front of you. Right. But if the teams do get him wide or deep, May becomes that person who then zones off and intercept marks as well. So when we talk about Lever, I reckon it's a bit of a 1-1. I'd like to talk about May in there as well.
Yeah. So the other critical part now into this game, so it's the wing matchups. So Bailey Smith's been in form. What do you do? Do you play Brayshaw more as a defensive winger to allow then Langdon up and down with Lockie Hunter? Because that's the way those sort of two play. So the wingers become really important there.
I'd be flipping them. I'd be playing Langdon on the Bailey Smith wing and Brayshaw on the Hunter wing.
So that's
trying to limit Lockie Hunter's influence and those little dinky kicks in the outlet targets he is.
So those four are critical, absolutely critical in the way that the teams play. The one clear advantage I see for Melbourne is in the ruck. Okay, so you got Gawn and Jackson versus Steph Martin and English. I think Melbourne have probably got a 20 to 25% advantage there in that area of the ground.
So the Bulldogs thought that last time they played at the MCG as well, whenever that game was, that early in the year.
Round 19 at the MCG.
And they worked a really good balance around the contest. So they worked in to out. They had a Libra or a Bont working right inside the contest where the ball was being dropped to.
Yep.
And then they owned the outside and they were able to get forward and kick goals from stoppage against the Dees. So that's, whilst I 100% agree with you, and we spoke to Maxi about this earlier in the week, Whitey, and they're fully aware of it clearly, and that's a real area that they can strangle the Western Bulldogs. If they can get that element of the game right, they can strangle the Bulldogs because they won't get territory, they won't get scoring opportunities. If Melbourne themselves are better balanced around the contest, and we saw in the game against Geelong that they just about perfected the width game at contest. So if they can do that again and keep the Bulldogs inside and not let them get out from contest, then I think it's just about curtains.
What Melbourne did in that prelim final is they created space at the front of the contest. So that was the exit.
Yep.
So you saw Melbourne just storming through the front of contest and breaking away from the Dees. Now, the Bulldogs are going to have to be set up really well. That sweeper at contest, Boomer, is going to be absolutely critical.
Yeah, you know who makes a half? Your point there, and I've watched a couple of quarters this year on just this week on which teams have beat the Western Bulldogs, and something you mentioned there is not letting the Western Bulldogs get on the outside. And that comes back to yours, Rama, about the sweeper just having plenty of room. The teams that defend them well, because what happens is they throw the ball around in a little phone box, right? They get the ball, there's a handball there, bang, bang, bang. As a defender, you get attracted to that ball. So you leave your man and think you can impact it. Now, they're that quick with the hands, you actually don't impact it, then your man gets the ball on the outside. The teams that have done really, really well against the Western Bulldogs have held their width, held their laterals, so you don't actually get sucked into the ball. You play a one-on-one with your opponent and let the tackler who's the closest go to work and try to impact that ball. Now, if they do that and do get it on the outside, the ball then leaves that stoppage or that play under pressure, and it's not a great kick. It's when Hunter's man gets sucked into the contest and Hunter gets the ball on the outside and can take 4, 5, 6 steps before he kicks the ball and can hit someone up. So the pressure factor inside that contest is the teams have done well, have played well against the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, and both teams do that really well, in fairness, pressure around the contest. I mean, that's sort of the hallmarks of their game. It's interesting, there was a really good stat put on Classified Lloydian Ross were going through the game the other night on Footy Classified. It's a really interesting stat. From the last 3 weeks of the home and away season for the Bulldogs to the first 3 weeks of the finals, it was their kick to handball was 1.25 or something in the last 3 weeks, where they were a bit off, weren't they? They're just a touch off. So more handballs than, well, it's more kicks than handballs, but the ratio was quite tight, almost 1-1. In the last 3 weeks of the finals, it's gone to about 1.65, 1.68. So they're taking the territory more. They're kicking more in the finals, and they're giving themselves forward half territory a chance to lock it in and get the ball turned over from those situations and hit the scoreboard, which is what you said before, Whitey. They've been able to put a score on the board. So they've changed their game a little bit to adapt to finals pressure, because you can't flick the ball around as much in finals because the pressure is too great. So they're taking the territory, they're taking the opportunity to get the ball forward, and if they've got matchups like they did against Port Adelaide, which were clearly in their favour and beneficial to the way they wanted to play, they are more than capable of putting a bit of a dent in this scoreboard that these want to put up.
Because this is the thing, if you look at the three finals that the Bulldogs played going in, as we previewed it, it was, were they going to be able to match the opposition on the scoreboard? Because Essendon were a fairly high-scoring team.
Yep.
Brisbane were the high-scoring team, and Port Adelaide at home particularly can score. Will they beat them all?
Yeah, and in those three finals, the way they've beaten them is through midfield dominance.
Exactly right. And do they have a general advantage in the midfield depth over Melbourne?
That's what I'm getting at. So if this game becomes a 50-50 battle in the midfield, this seems to favour Melbourne to me. Yeah, all Melbourne need to do is break even through the middle of the ground.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair from my assessment of this.
Because I think their forwards, I think Melbourne's forwards are better.
Yeah.
And I think Melbourne's defenders are better.
Oh, the Waitman factor is important here.
Get that matchup right.
The Waitman-Hannon, they're the two wild cards, I reckon.
But that's Hibbert and Rivers. It's Hibbert and Rivers every day of the week.
But it's not just Melbourne's forward line. It's does the Bulldog defence, are they good enough to be able to hold the Melbourne forwards?
Mm. Yeah. We spend a lot of time talking, and I'm sure when you pick your Norm Smith medalist, you're not going to pick one of these players. But Melbourne's role players this year have been as good as I've seen for a very, very long time. We always talk about, you know, the first people we talk about, Gawn, Oliver, Petrarca, and then you go to Lever and May. What about the names of Petty, Spargo, Bowie, Sparrow, Rivers, Bullen? These type of guys, their depth now is unbelievable. And this has been a long, long time in the making, this premiership. And I don't have to... When was their last premiership? 64 or something? 64. You go back to the draft in 2013 where Salem, Hunt and Harms got picked up as a rookie. Then 14, Petrarca, Brayshaw and Bullen. Like, they've drafted really, really well. And even their trades now, they've brought in Ben Brown, Langdon, May. These type of guys, Lever. This has been a good 8 years in the making. When you go back through that draft, they've got some absolute rippers. You know, your Jordans, these type of guys. Their depth now and the way they've drafted. I don't know who their recruiter officer was back in 2013, maybe Barry Prendergast or someone like that. But they've done a fantastic job because this list now, they're building, and those role players are nearly going to be the difference for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think, and going back to our original conversation when we started analysing this about Caleb Daniel, I think Alex Neil-Bullen might be the most important player on the ground for Melbourne tomorrow night. Because his role has been to roll up, get into the contest and push back hard and put a bit of pressure on. And if that allows Daniel to sit back and just do what he wants, and that's not going to work. Nope. So they might have to restructure that a little bit from a Melbourne perspective. I can almost guarantee that
role will be Tom Sparrow.
Yep.
Put some physical pressure on Daniel as much as he possibly can. Because Neil-Bullen is. That Neil-Bullen role is probably better suited to Bailey Dale.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I think he's going to be a really important player tomorrow night, Neil-Bullen. And the Bulldogs need a big game out of Eastern Wood, I reckon, to make sure.
Well, he's got to be in nuisance tomorrow. He's got to be in nuisance, getting in front of Brown, getting in front of McDonald, Jackson when he's down there. Even Max Gawn floating down there. He's got to be a real nuisance factor tomorrow, Eastern Wood.
Because if you look, Beveridge, I reckon what you can plan, Boomer, is that Max isn't going to kick five.
You wouldn't have thought so. And this is probably what I was alluding to a little bit earlier when I said, what's going to happen in this game? Grand final, grand finals are like a boxing match. You know, when they do their pre-fight presses and they get in there in their face and they do all this stuff and then you see the fight and you go, oh, that wasn't that exciting. You're always expecting something from a grand final and then nothing really happens. They both play defensive football and you go, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I thought something would have happened. I'll take you back to a few years back when Clarko did those rush points against Geelong. Remember they used to just they step back over the line and everyone's going, what the hell? Well, that was a that was well planned out because Geelong were a great team of rebounding inside 50s and they just did something left field and Bevo was there then. So I just think that there might be something there. And I heard Lachie Hunter say, and it won't be crazy, but I heard Lachie Hunter say during the week on the news that we're not going to let Max Gawn just run around and do what he wants. So are they going to target him? I don't know how it works. He's going to be like a pinball, I reckon. Every time they kick a goal, someone's going to hit him, someone else is going to hit him, and he's going to use a lot of energy getting back just to the centre circle. And if you don't do that, you're bloody crazy. Yeah. Your football's on the line. This is a grand final. This is not round 19.
I love Max's text message to Steph Martin.
Hi.
It's just a mind game. It's just a simple little mind game.
He was talking about that earlier in the week. Listen to that on the website, rsn.net.au. By the way, for Bulldogs fans, Josh Dunkley joined us as well. So there's one for each of the clubs participating tomorrow night. We'll get to a break. We'll come back with the tips. We'll come back with the Norm Smiths because we'll make that part of the Friday face-off. We'll do everything. We'll throw it all in after this. Make it part of the Friday face-off. Double points up for grabs.
Could be triple.
Maybe triple. We'll decide during the break on the Breakfast Club. Where are we off to, James? Ah, yes, the wonderful place, Never Never Land. Don't you worry about that. A little bit of Metallica action, grand final preview on the Friday footy preview. Boomer Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, ready for the Friday face-off, Boomer. $100 Batoki hamper up for grabs for our contestants. And we'll continue this through the spring of racing, so keep registering at the website, rsn.net.au. But clearly, it's the last football of the AFL version for the Friday face-off. What are we doing, Boomer? Because you are the carryover champ from last week. You got the full 4 points, and you're only 8 points behind.
I won. I didn't realise that. Sorry.
Oh, you did. So you text us all for the last 4 days.
I'm only eight. What I'm behind four. I've come out of nowhere just quietly.
No, you're eight off.
I think I've won the last. Oh, eight off. Damn it. I think I've won six out of the last eight, though, so I'm going okay. Nice. Get on me. Come on.
We are going,
Daniel.
Yeah.
We're going to go a little bit of a category here. I like a little bit of a multi, I guess.
Right.
So we're going to go the team, whoever you think's going to win, by a margin.
Righto.
Into the Norm Smith.
Yes.
Into the first goal scorer.
Oh, first goal scorer.
Yeah, so we're going to go four. Hey, I don't know how we score this, but
we'll work that
someone
out.
Someone else can take care of that.
You get 2 points for each. That's what you get.
All right, there you go.
That's what we're going to do. 2 points. 8 point total. Boomer, you can tie the lead this if you can nail it. Winning team, winning margin, Norm Smith medal, and first goal scorer. Rammer.
Yo.
You get to go first.
Okay.
You're playing for Mark Laverty from Hackney. Now, good luck to you, Mark.
Okay. I'm going to go the D's by 17 points.
Oh, no. It's an over right down.
I'm going to take Ben Brown for the Norm Smith. 6 goals, 8 contested marks.
Oh, this is real sort of insider
trading. And I'm going to take Bailey Fritch as the first goal kicker.
Bailey Fritch is the first goal scorer. So the D's, 17, Ben Brown. No one cares about the goals and contested marks, Frank. Take that off the screen. You got very excited there. No one cares about that component.
That's the reason why he's going to win it.
And Bailey Fritch for the first goal scorer. Whitey. You are playing for Anthony Carroll from Swan Hill.
I am going with Western Bulldogs to win. The margin to be 20 points. Norm Smith, Jackson McRae. First goal scorer, Corey Waitman.
Cody.
You're close. He looks like Corey, that bloke from A Carrot Affair.
He does look like Corey. What was his name? Worthington. How do I know that stuff?
Corey Worthington.
He's all in on the dogs.
Dogs
by 20. Jack McRae for the Norm Smith and Corey/Cody Waitman for the first goal scorer. All right. I'm next up, Boomer. I'm playing for John Newton from Horsham. Good luck to you, John. I think we'll be nailing this. We're going for the D's by 15 points. Going to scale it back a little bit from you, Boomer. We think that Clayton Oliver will be the Norm Smith medalist. And we think that the first goal scorer will be Charlie Spargo. For the D's. So D's, 15 points. Oliver Spargo for the Norm Smith first goal scorer combo, which means, Boomer, you are the only one left to select, and you are playing for Lee Franklin from Maiden Grove.
Good luck, Lee. I kid you not, guys, I had Melbourne by 16 points. Rammer's 17, and you're 15, so you've jammed me in the middle, so I've changed it to 14 points. just in case.
Just take the 16.
It's closest to it. No, I'm going to go to 14. So if they win by a less, I get the points.
Gives you a couple of numbers.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah, it gives me a couple of little ones. But I kid you not, I had them written down at 16. I'm going to go with Adam. Oh, no, Melbourne are winning, so I'm not going with Adam Treloar for me, Norm Smith. I'm going with Adam Treloar for my first goal kicker.
Righto.
As a sort of high half forward mid, getting forward and kicking that goal. And I'm going to go, yeah, you went with Oliver for the Norm Smith. I liked Oliver as well, but I'm going to go with Petrarca.
Petrarca. So Boomer's gone Melbourne, 14 points. Petrarca the Norm Smith, and Adam Treloar is the first goal scorer for the Western Bulldogs. So yeah. They are our selections. Three of us choosing Melbourne by 14 to 17 points. Ben Brown, Oliver and Petrarca are our Melbourne Norm Smith medal suggestions. Whitey's gone from Jack McRae, and first goal scorers for Fritch, Waitman, Spargo and Treloar. Rightio, that wraps up what's been a busy day on The Breakfast Club. Boomer, it wraps up our time with you through the AFL season as well. And we love every week when you join us on the program, mate. Thank you for all your efforts through 2021. And we look forward to a great weekend of footy and catching up with you very, very soon.
Beautiful. Been a pleasure, boys. Thanks very much. Have a great grand final day to everybody.
You're a good man. Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder with the best pipes in the business with us on the Friday footy preview every week on The Breakfast Club. Rama, it's going to be big this weekend.
Huge. Can't wait. Can't wait. Upset it's not in Melbourne, but it will be an absolute spectacular show in Perth.
Certainly it will be. Looking forward to it. Whitey, we'll discuss it all on Monday morning after a massive weekend of the world of sport.